Well, it started for me when I was 16. My first job was in an ice cream store, and I went through a lot of different jobs before I wound up in the family business. But I was always interested in meeting people and connecting. That's been an ongoing theme of mine. So after I graduated from college, decided to go to business school, came out into the work world, had a just a total understanding of everything I needed to know in business, right? I had my MBA. I was an expert. And I went to work for a couple different companies, and I had an opportunity to join my family's business. And because I was the marketing guru in the family, they gave me all of marketing decision-making. The family business was furniture, retail furniture, and I was really excellent at spending money on marketing. Not so good at getting results from that marketing, and really learned my biggest lesson outside of business school, which they didn't teach me in business school, is it's not about marketing and advertising. It's about the relationships you build. And yeah. That was the aha moment for me, which transformed everything that I was doing in the family business. And then when I started my own business about 21 years ago.
What was the business model that the family was using before the hotshot MBA joined the team?
Well, we were actually doing the standard thing in the furniture industry at the time, which is about 6 to 7% of the gross of a furniture business goes towards advertising. And that's what everyone in the industry at that time was doing. And it was before the internet age and social media spending. So it was very traditional, you know, mix of, you know, radio, TV, print, yellow pages. That was a thing for the older listeners out there.
Yeah.
That's a huge expenditure for a business like ours. And we just assumed that everyone else was doing it. So that's what you had to do. But I discovered that the really successful people in our industry and the really successful businesses in other industries were not relying upon the marketing and advertising. That was a branding piece, but they were really out there building strong connections inside their organizations to create, you know, optimal relationships amongst each other so they could deliver great service to their clientele. And then delivering that great service, you would get the loyalty that you needed to bring them back in, and you would hopefully, if you really did a good job, we'd get them talking with others about what you did. And that's something I didn't learn as a marketing student in my MBA program. Mm-hmm. I learned about the technical stuff, but I didn't learn about the relational piece.
Yeah. When we talked before, Patrick, you talked about 1 year you spent something like $200,000 on marketing, and there was a moment when it was really like a punch in the gut in terms of the reality setting in that all that money and all that focus on advertising was not paying anything back in return. Take me back to that moment that you realized that. What was that day
so
like?
For most furniture companies, you see about 80% of your traffic on the weekends. And I remember after a very slow month of being in there on a Saturday, which ostensibly was going to be our busiest day, and looking out on a sea of furniture, with no customers. And there I am standing next to my dad, and he turns to me and says, so this is what a couple $100,000 buys. It was a humbling experience because I really thought we had a great advertising agency. We had, you know, a great campaign. It should have worked, right? Like everyone else's advertising. Why wasn't it working for us? So that was really the aha moment. It was sort of like death by 1,000 paper cuts because it wasn't that Saturday. It was a lot of Saturdays in the fall of that year. And it was just an awareness that, hey, just because everyone does something doesn't mean that it's the best thing to do. And then that got me asking questions of folks who I admired in our industry and then folks in other types of businesses. And I discovered that there was a commonality, and that was, you know, they were really focused on creating quality relationships.
Yeah. So how did you start to turn things around in the furniture business? And we'll get to the books that you've written as well, because those are just exactly almost mirroring sort of your life experience when it comes
to... Yes, exactly. You're seeing the autobiography in that.
Yeah.
Well, first it starts internally. So realizing how important that relational piece was and realizing what we were doing wrong was we were putting people on the sales floor who did not have adequate training. I mean, if you want to get people to be loyal to you, you need to give them a remarkable experience. And you're not going to do that by just throwing people on the front lines because you have to, because it's busy on the weekends. Hmm. So really stepping back and looking at how we structured our sales force and our designers, and making sure that we were sending out adequately trained installers when they're going out on the job. So giving people a better experience so that they would have that feeling of loyalty. And then after people were coming into the business and we realized that some of our folks were really rushing to the sale without, you know, building that connection relationship. And then we compare the relationship builders we had on our team with those who were, you know, the sharky salespeople, and the folks who started talking about things that had nothing to do with furniture and really connecting on a very human level. We had our most successful salesperson. Her typical question was, "That's an interesting sweatshirt. Did you go to Stanford, or are you a Cal person?" And yeah, she got to furniture, but it was never the lead. And you know, we saw that and realized, well, that's something that we have to, you know, we have to train around. And then people come in, they buy, and if you want to stay connected with them, it's just send them sales flyers, which is what we were doing, but engage them, you know, do seminars in the store, communicate in a more interesting way to allow them to make some smart choices on how they might add on to their furniture systems, to really think about building a longer term connection with that customer.
Yeah, we've had several people on the show, Patrick, that have been through formal business school training at the master's level. And to a person, everyone says, "I wish they had taught this stuff in business school, the value of building those relationships." It's just really, really interesting. I wonder why that is, Patrick, that business schools don't understand the value of those soft skills. And I guess it's not just unique to business, but like, you know, in medical school, I don't know that they spend a lot of time on bedside manner training and stuff like that. But what's your gut tell you about that?
Yeah, so I think most business schools, and there has been a change. You have more practitioners who actually did what they're teaching at the business schools than when I was at business school. We had some. And if I were to go back and look at my notes, which of course I don't have, I threw them out years ago. I do remember that some of the folks who were practitioners would talk about being in that business. And I think they probably felt pressure to talk about things that could be quantified, sort of more data centric, that you could do analysis of. In relational stuff, I'm guessing, this is in hindsight, that seemed a little warm and fuzzy and kind of hard to associate numbers with. Probably there wasn't a lot of data around the importance of it. And I think business schools, like a lot of professional schools, are very data-driven organizations. So I'm guessing that there was just a lack of it. Sadly, I don't think there's been a huge change. I think there's more of it from what I've heard from more recent MBAs. But still, based on the importance of it, there's not nearly enough emphasis on it. Like, you should be able to minor in relationship building, whether you're a marketing person or a finance person. I mean, it should be a clear like path for you. And I think you have to, you know, be a savvy student to find those professors who are going to talk about that, who might have the experiential piece. But, you know, as a discipline, it's just not studied enough. So therefore, probably it's not taught enough.
Yeah. So I'd love to explore, Patrick, how you started to formalize your knowledge of relationship building and also the teaching of it, because I think you told me before that your company was a PR agency for a while, and then that sort of transitioned into what it is today. When did that start to take root in terms of formalizing this stuff?
Yeah. So in 2001, I left the family business to start a PR company. And as much as it was great experience working with my dad, and fortunately we have a great relationship today, I understand him very differently than I would have if I had never worked with him. So I think I have an edge over my brother. So I really value the 5 years I spent in the family business. But I realized that this relationship piece that we then implemented in our business that really moved the needle for us was a lot more fun than the management of SKUs and a retail workforce and what have you. So when I wanted to go out and focus on relationships, I wasn't sure exactly how that would translate. And if you think about the PR business back around 2001, 2002, 100% relationship business. You know, we were building relationships with folks like yourself in your former profession in the media field, trying to build a connection, position our clients and their stories and how they did things in a way that would be of interest. And it just seemed like a natural flow because that was part of the relationship building that I was doing in the furniture world, and one that would literally pay for itself if I did it for other companies. And then what happened is we grew with that and we were successful in PR and we were a traditional PR business for 15 years. And then things started to change and traditional media was no longer the dominant thing for communications for a lot of companies. They had their own blogs and their own communications vehicles that they were investing more time and energy on. And we saw them building, you know, direct connections with their clientele. And realized that that's kind of what I did back in my furniture days. And it prompted me to write a book called The Connector's Way, which I'm guessing we're going to talk about, which is a parable about relationship building. And that really got me out there as a speaker talking about, you know, how you build relationships on an individual basis, both within, inside your organization and with others. And that really flipped us from being a PR company to being a what we are today, a learning and development company with a focus on relationship building.